Should we move on to the start of the 70s?
Fortunately, I stopped really watching Gloucester during the 70s because I was playing every weekend.
All right.
And as far as I'm concerned, the only time I ever watched a game of rugby is if it was an evening game down here, or it was a county match in our games, or we didn't have a game. As far as we're concerned, you never missed a game of rugby to watch a game of rugby.
And did you play down here yourself, John?
Not at Gloucester, no. Unfortunately, my career was at the same time really as Peter Butler, so I wouldn't have had a chance. He was actually a year older than me at school, Peter. Still great friends of his now, and see him a lot. But there was a lot of good players down here, and I did actually come down here training, because in those days you just turned up, trained to chance your luck. And it was in the early 70s, I think, and I came down here to train, and it was 60, 70 people down here all training, and it was just chaos. And it was a bit difficult because Dad was chairman at the time, and I just didn't feel it was right. And I was enjoying my rugby with Cryptians. I did play on Kingsland twice in the seven-a-sides and in two cup finals. Both, unfortunately, we lost the cup finals, but we won the seven-a-sides, the combination sevens. But I did, when I was at college in Cheltenham, I did have one game for Cheltenham. They were their fullback Tim Hamilton had flu one Wednesday, and they were playing Moseley. So in those days, it was in 1971, and they had a good side. Sam Doble at fullback, Colin McFadden, Jan Webster, John Horton, Corliss prop, John Horton the second row, and Cheltenham was short, so they asked me to play. And before a game in the afternoon for the college, and the chap who organised the college team said, would you mind playing tonight for Cheltenham? And I said, well, yeah, but you've got to speak to our club first. You're not allowed to approach me, which in those days was... Anyway, it was all okayed. I'd play that night. He said, well, you better not play this afternoon. I said, no, I'll play this afternoon. So I played for the college in the afternoon, and I played for Cheltenham against Moseley in the evening. And I think we lost about 22-12, something. And in those days, Bob Redwood was outside half of Cheltenham. Mike Hyde was playing. John Fiddler was playing. So Cheltenham had a handy side. Dave Prothero. And there was about three other people I knew playing as well.
As you mentioned there, your father was chairman of the club for a long stint. Were there any particular issues with the administration of the club that your father or indeed your grandfather ever talked about?
Issues? I never really heard anything from my grandfather. Obviously, yes, there was always the problems. I always remember Dad being worried about things down here. He'd sleepless nights, he'd talk about it at home. Really, the club never left our house, really, I suppose. It was always very difficult because... As everybody's well aware, Gloucester's very much a community club, and what suits one doesn't always suit another, and it's always a question of getting a fine balance. I always remember before the AGMs, he was always worried about what was going to come up at the meeting, and his best joke was, I wonder who's going to mention about the ladies' toilets this year. It wasn't serious matter. Although everybody thought Gloucester Rugby Club can afford this, it was run on a shoestring. The gate money barely paid for the running of a club this size. And you think of the costs of travelling down to all these games. It was quite, and of course there was a bit of advertising in those days, but nothing huge.
I'm not surprised to hear his comment about the ladies' toilets. I was reading through some minutes after the Second World War the other day, and they were debating in the committee, how far they could go with the proposed improvements at the ground. They decided they couldn't afford it all, so the thing that got chopped off was the ladies' toilets.
Yeah, that's right. I can always remember my mother going to giving her the sheet for the food, for the teas, to Doug Wadley. And he would go bananas if it was more than £5. We can't afford £5.
Well, there was a time when they were using a caterer where they had the option of the standard tea or a more expensive meat tea, and they actually got meat in it. Yeah. And they decided they could have that for the big clubs that they wanted to encourage, like Cardiff and Leicester.
Well, of course, in those days, of course, a big crowd would be for the Cardiff, the Leicester, and the biggest one of the lot was always Coventry in those days.
Yeah.
And it was always, I always remember my father and my grandfather saying, you've got to have a big game the first weekend in December, because the wives will always want the husbands to go shopping, but you've got to lure them away. You've got to always have a big game. And so consequently, I think for years, Coventry was always the first week in December, which was a big game in those days. They probably had 9-10 internationals. Mm. I think the Warwickshire side had 13 of the Coventry team. Yeah. And so it was a difficult time for him as a chairman, I know, because my mother wasn't well in those days as well. And I know he had quite a few issues. I think I always remember the tour to America when, I think at the last minute, John Fidler was asked to go, but of course his name wasn't on the sheet. So they tried to get him onto the plane at Heathrow, and it nearly worked, but the plane was delayed, and somebody checked, and they wouldn't let him on. So there was a quick phone call to Roy Long, who was living in the Chestnuts then, and I had to dash up to Heathrow Airport with the cash for the plane fare for John to go to America. And of course, it was the days then when the BBC started televising games, and they came down to King's Home to televise a game. And of course, it was the first year of any advertising hoardings around. The BBC, we've got to have those covered up. We can't advertise. Well, we can't. These people have paid to advertise. Well, you've got to cover them up. So they covered them up with clear polythene.
I might have been there for that one, actually.
And then the, I think it was the Leicester Cup final, the second one, when sponsorship on the shirt, so I think it was Europa Sports, had a little anvil, and the number patch on the back was in an anvil shape. And BBC objected. We can't televise this, it's advertising. And Dad had, well, I'm sorry, but we'll have to go out in skins then. But very difficult times, but, you know, a lot of fun. And I think, looking at my time I grew up at the rugby club, and I remember, there was a great crowd of, it was like a family spirit down here. And I think that still carries on, because I speak to Mickey Booth and John Bayliss, Dick Smith, and they still all meet up, they chat. And my father, in one time, used to arrange cricket matches in the summer for players, although I suspect some of the players wanted a break from the rugby because they played a lot of games. But we used to go out to Ashleworth and out to a place called Bosbury, where my uncle had a pub, and they used to play the local side out at Bosbury each summer, and it was always a great social occasion. And if Dad couldn't get players, it was always other people who would play, people behind the scenes down here, who did some sterling work down at the rugby club, who don't get mentioned. People like, well, they didn't play so much cricket, but people like Tom Oakes, Mervyn Elway, Jimmy Holder, people like that who were the backbone of a club, but they don't get the recognition.
Yeah. But it's noticeable, if you look back over the history of the club, that there have been a relatively small number of people who have devoted, you know, their whole lives to the club, and that's led to the success of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of course, including your father and grandfather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think he'd had the stresses. I can remember Mum and Dad having numerous arguments about the amount of time Dad was down here at the rugby club. And I'm sure my grandmother and my grandfather were the same.